Welcome to Somewhat Qualified. I'm Anne, she, her.
I am Jess. I use she, her, hers pronouns.
And I'm Milo, and I use they, them.
Yep. And we are coming at you with something a little bit different from our other episodes. We are not necessarily going to be discussing one specific project, but a whole host of things. Because, you know, it's just that time in human history when we have a lot of time at home to watch things. So we're calling this
Quarren streaming.
I think we're just going to kind of go around and like round table this a little bit and talk about some of the things that we're watching to help us get through this trying time. And hopefully by the end of this episode, you will have some new suggestions to go look up on the internet, hopefully to make your time self-distancing. It's social distancing.
Yeah, social. Distancing
is not the word. Social distancing a little bit easier. So, Jess, what have you been watching?
All right. So, I just finished... The other day, I finished the HBO adaptation. Well, I don't know if it's quite an adaptation. It's more of a sequel series, Watchmen.
Yeah. I've heard of it, but I have not seen it. But tell me more.
So I have mixed feelings on it, which I feel bad about because I wanted to like it so much. But there were some issues with it. I didn't feel like it... dealt with race in like a super great way. Like I had heard a lot of compliments about it, but there were just some moments in it that kind of sat wrong with me. Like there's this one part where a character is talking to the lead, who's played by Regina King, who's amazing in it, by the way. Like I can't say enough about all the actors in it. They're all great.
Regina King is always amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was one part where, now she's a police officer, and in the universe, police officers all wear like masks after there was like a police massacre. And so they're like, oh, for the sake of like protecting police, they all wear masks now. So someone, and then she's also has like a kind of like alter ego, Sister Knight, who's kind of like a vigilante in some sense. Basically, they do kind of like extra judicial stuff that they can't be seen like their police uniform doing. So I wasn't 100% happy because there's this one scene, like I said, where another character asks her how she felt when she put the mask on. And she says that she felt angry. And then he responds, oh, I thought the same thing when I put the mask on. But it was really just fear and hurt. And that kind of bothered me because anger is a valid emotion. And Black people in this country have a right to be angry. I don't think it needs to be a mask for other feelings. And the fact that it was led by like a white showrunner kind of left like a bad taste in my mouth to put that line in there. I know they did have Black writers on staff. But the scene just kind of left me with a bad feeling. So it's a mixed bag. But I would encourage other people to watch it and then gain their own opinions on it. And then I can discuss it with them because I actually don't know a ton of people who have watched it. So.
Yeah. And Milo, what have you been watching?
Mostly YouTube at this point. At this time, one channel that I really want to bring up that I've been watching recently is Legal Eagle, and it's largely just a real lawyer reacting to like law scenes in fiction as well as current events. Like one of the most recent videos was how the government botched the coronavirus response.
This sounds amazing. And it reminded me of a channel I'm going to bring up when it's my turn that I wasn't even going to bring up, but go on.
On the not current events side channel, he has videos such as a real lawyer reacts to B-movie.
That sounds amazing.
It is a wonderful. He rates it. He breaks down the whole scene based on real world legal.
It's kind law. Of like a fact checking almost.
Yes. Okay. He does all kinds of media. Like, he did B Movie. He did an episode of The Simpsons. He did an episode of SpongeBob, of South Park, Last Week Tonight, actually, which kind of bridges the gap between like scripted show and real life, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I am really liking it. Also, he's cute, so.
Oh my gosh, so that has so much in common with one of my favorites, which is Dr. Mike. He is a doctor who reacts to like medical dramas and stuff. And he is also cute. But he also, I mean, he does more than that. He has some that are meme videos. Definitely in this time of COVID-19, he's been doing more like informative content about, you know, what have you heard about COVID-19, like kind of sorting the fact from the fiction and all that. But my favorite ones are where he just watches Grey's Anatomy and says WTF for 15 minutes straight. because I also, like, not as much these last couple weeks, but I have been kind of falling back into a Grey's Anatomy rabbit hole. I, like, kind of climbed out of it just in time for like, self... I keep saying the wrong thing. Social distancing. but it sounds like basically the medical version of the channel you're it's called Legal Eagle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so now I feel like just knowing that there is a lawyer version of that channel
sounds appealing.
Is making me very happy. Yeah, and I like I honestly wasn't even that wasn't even on my list of things to bring up, but now I feel like I had to.
And question.
And I've been like also YouTubing a lot
more. Milo had a question.
Oh, sorry.
Does this doctor do like pimple popping videos? Or react to them?
Not to my knowledge. Because he is not like a dermatologist or anything.
Okay.
He's just like a family project. I am not a fan of pimple popping videos. That's like one rabbit hole of YouTube that I do not enjoy. I've like one of my favorite questions to ask people now is like, what's your favorite rabbit hole of YouTube? But like but, like, one of my least favorites is the pimple popping, actually.
There are two types of people.
I don't, I haven't really watched so much pimple popping. You know what I watch is, like...
Blackhead squeezing?
No, like, cystectomies. Like, when people have, like, ovarian cysts.
I love all that's those kind of in the same category.
It kind of is. It's like an internal cyst that they're popping.
I'm not going to say that I've never fallen into the pimple popping rabbit hole because I have. Like, it's happened, and there's still something oddly fascinating about it. But I never, like, I can only spend so much time there before I'm just like, and get out. This is another YouTube rabbit hole that I wasn't even planning to bring up, but I also enjoy skincare YouTube. So one channel is, I think, Skincare by Hyram, Hyram. And he's like a skincare specialist who has made videos of himself reacting to pimple popping. I know that's like several like layers of
it's meta. It's like a 2-in-1. It's a reaction video. And
yeah.
Video.
Yeah. But that is kind of the closest I get anymore to like, like I never actively decide to watch pimple popping, but sometimes you just, you know.
Just a happy accident.
It just happens. I will say, well, we're still kind of on the topic of YouTube, because I have been watching, like, Netflix and other ones, too. But I have definitely been watching a lot more, like, long-form YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. So people that will spend, like, a half hour just breaking down, like, a Disney movie. Lindsay Ellis is one of my favorites. I watched a 20-minute apology video to Stephanie Meyer last night, and it was all about how the only reason that we hated Twilight was because it was made for teenage girls and we don't like teenage girls as a society, and it kind of blew my mind a little bit.
I do have to step in here and say that as a teenage girl, I dislike Twilight on its own merits.
And she gets into that. I can link the video, but basically her point, I'll spoil the Lindsay Ellis video essay for a little bit, but her point was that when people make kind of trite, trivial things aimed at men, it is not hated with the same level of vitriol. So like a Transformers movie or like a Fast and the Furious movie does not get hated the way that Twilight does, even though you could still argue it's just as like shallow and vapid.
Okay. Yeah, I think there's some.
So she's points. Not necessarily trying to say that Twilight's like this huge. She's just like, this is just like a fun, cheesy book written for teenage girls. Like, and that's okay. So that was like just the more she's done a lot of really good ones about Disney. Sideways is another one I've been loving that focuses on like movie scoring. He has a really good one on like why Shrek's gore is so good. So just like videos that I would otherwise look at and be like, oh my gosh, I don't have time to spend a half hour on a YouTube video, have really been up my alley this past week.
Yeah, no, I think in times like this, it kind of it makes you like reapproach things. So now there's just so much more free time.
Yeah, time is an illusion. What is time?
Time as a concept has retired. But now we don't have to ration our content, essentially. There's just a lot more time that we have. Unless you're a healthcare worker or a grocery store worker, which, by the way, national heroes, love all of them.
Yes.
Shout out to everyone in essential service. Yes, pay them all a living wage, and in this time, pay them hazard pay.
Yes. And while I know you all out there maybe do not necessarily have control over how much healthcare workers or grocery store workers get paid, one thing I will say, please be nice to them. They're probably working. If you go to the grocery store at all, please understand the employees. I've worked very long hours. Some might even be up there on their day off.
And please thank them for doing what they're doing. You.
Yeah. So,
hero to be a good person.
Yes. So if you're just kind of like, well, yeah, I wish that like grocery store employees got paid more. If nothing else, please just make sure you are being nice and being as appreciative as possible. Should you have to interact with any people in those industries that still are working right now.
Yeah, that was our PSA to support.
Yeah, it's a PSA. I don't promise that it's the last one.
We're done for right now. It may crop up.
But for now. Jess, yes. Outside of Watchmen, have you been watching any fun things?
So I had another HBO selection that I recently finished watching. So I had started the adaptation, the miniseries adaptation of Gillian Flynn's Sharp Objects a long time ago. So I have gotten to finish that now in my time in quarantine. And it is so good. I love it so much. I have always really like responded to thrillers, and also it's kind of Southern Gothic in points, which was really cool. And I think it's very good at capturing like a mood and a tone in a way that a lot of other shows I think aren't, it feels very authentic. And so I really enjoyed it. Amy Adams is great in it. Jean-Marc Vallée, who directed the first season of Big Little Lies, also directed this. And I highly recommend this one. I really loved it. Yes. I don't know. I feel like I've been into like murder lately. Not as in I'm murdering.
No, it's fine. Everyone knows, but yeah. Who hasn't been in the murder rabbit hole of the internet, right?
True. It's like, you know, it's like pimple poppings at the top and then murder right underneath it.
Yeah.
As far as internet holes.
Exactly. But yeah, I Sharp Objects has been on my list for forever, and I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah.
But you know, no time like the present.
I need to read the book too.
I recommend the book. I enjoyed it. And it's also an excellent time to catch up on reading. So hey,
it is.
This could be like double duty, because then you can read the book and then watch the show.
Milo, did you have any other suggestions?
I do. I'm going to shift,
I thought you might,
a little bit to sports. Woo. And my sport, baseball. There is a YouTube channel called Foolish Baseball, which I love, and his most popular series, Baseball Bits, where he goes depth into a specific baseball topic.
The most recent Baseball Bits was Earl Weaver Played Moneyball Before Moneyball, where he compares Earl Weaver's managing style to the 2002 Athletics.
The one with the Brad Pitt movie.
Yeah. The one with the Brad Pitt.
And just for reference, Earl Weaver was a manager of the Baltimore Orioles in the 70s-ish.
Probably the best Orioles manager.
Yeah, he's really famous among Orioles fans. Like, but I just want to make sure, if you don't follow sports, yeah. Also, if you ever just want to YouTube,
like a manager like screaming profanities at a umpire in the 70s, that's probably Earl Weaver.
Yes. The Earl Weaver rabbit hole of YouTube is small but mighty, because there are videos that you can find of him like yelling at umpires, and they're wonderful. But yeah, proceed. Foolish Baseball.
Foolish Baseball and the series Baseball Bits. There's another video that I really enjoyed. So You Didn't Vote for Larry Walker, which probably may have been the single biggest push that got Larry Walker into the Hall of Fame. Like, it literally just breaks it down case by case as to why Larry Walker should have been inducted into the Hall of Fame, and sure enough, 1 year later, he was.
YouTube is power.
It is. I think that's actually a really great suggestion, because, you know, since opening day has been pushed back until really God knows when.
Yeah, it's not a fun time to be a sports fan.
It's not. It's a sort of way you can get your baseball fix until the season eventually starts.
Also, a really quick note, like, basically every baseball game from the past, like, 3 years is on YouTube, so.
Yeah, that's great. You could just pull one of those up and then get some
sleep. And you could watch that game 7 between the Cubs and the Indians that lasted, like, an entire week, and then you're good. From a few years ago.
I hear that ESPN was playing a college baseball game, and it lasted for 18 innings. That's a solid like 5 hours of your life right there.
Yeah, that's two baseball games in one.
Yeah.
I love the sports fix for those of you out there who I'm sure are missing your sports action. And now for something completely different, as the Monty Python people would say. I am not as into sports as I once was, but I'm a lot more into makeup than I once was. And competitive makeup is one of my new, like, favorite things. There's only 8 episodes of it, but Netflix has done a BBC partnership thing for a show called Glow Up. And it's basically Project Runway for makeup artists. So each week they give them some challenges, and you watch people do makeup, and I always get way more invested in like who should go home and who shouldn't than I really probably should be. The judges are both fantastic on it. I think so much of the secret to good competitive reality comes in your judges, and they did a really good job of hiring two judges who are not too mean and not too nice, but just like right where I want my reality show judges to be. One of them wears a lot of fantastic sweaters. His name is Dom. And then the other is named Val. And she just gets very, very enthusiastic about looks that she likes. And she tends to say ding dong a lot when she likes
ding dong.
She says it differently every time. The best one. There's actually like a YouTube compilation of, I think, like every ding dong she says. So sometimes it's like this very loud euphoric ding dong, and then otherwise it's just like ding dong. And like I don't know, but I'm fascinated by the makeup looks these people are able to pull off. I think because it's like a British show, it doesn't get quite as catty as reality show in the States oftentimes does.
Yeah, there's very little, as someone, sorry, just gonna step in here. I've also watched the show. There's very little interpersonal drama, which is nice. It really focuses on their work.
So anyone who I think is looking to fall into a nice, like, competitive reality kind of binge should definitely check out Glow Up on Netflix if they haven't already.
Yes. I am going to wholeheartedly support that recommendation. And it's also, because it's only 8 episodes, you can just zip through them, like 1, 2, 3. And they have a wide variety of makeup challenges, too. There's one episode where they go to, like, a fashion show, and they have to get all the models ready in a timely manner. There was another one where they had to do a photo shoot. There was another one where they had to do, like, different drag makeup styles. So if you're someone who loves makeup, it really offers you like the full experience of a whole bunch of different styles. So you're not just watching the same, like, this is going to be your 5-minute everyday look. They go into a lot of different techniques, and I really enjoy at the end of every episode, the way they determine eliminations is little face-off challenges focusing on a technical aspect of makeup. And I thought that was actually really cool to see.
The face-offs are done on identical twins.
Yes.
So each makeup artist has like the same, essentially the same face to work with. And then they won't necessarily do a full look, but they'll do like, okay, you have 13 minutes to do a cut crease. Oh, you have to do a black lip. Oh, you have to do false eyelashes. Whatever. It's usually just like one little thing. And then they just have a quick amount of time to do it. But yeah, those are really fascinating as well. I'm sorry. Did anyone have anything else to say about Glow Up?
I think I'm good.
And that one's on Netflix again. Who has a show they want to talk about next?
Let's see.
Or YouTube video, or
I don't have I don't have a show, but I would like to talk about Anne, I think you mentioned you haven't seen it. Milo, have you ever seen Little Shop of Horrors?
I am familiar with it vaguely.
So I have not seen it. However, if I'm not mistaken, it is Alan Menken and Howard Ashman, right?
Yes.
On the music.
It was one of their...
basically made the Disney Renaissance happen. And that's one of the things that I was watching long-form YouTube videos about, was the Disney Renaissance.
This was their...
Now I feel like I do need to go back and watch Little Shop.
This was their second collaboration, I believe.
Okay.
They had done one earlier one. So this was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid, which probably sounds bizarre because it's about like an alien plant that eats humans, but I loved it. It's so good, and it does have a lot of the melodies are very typical, like Menken. They're very like beautiful, obviously, but very kind of traditional show ballad. And then the lyrics are kind of, you know, they're more fun. They're a little bit more fun. They're definitely edgier than what you would, than like the Disney films that they worked on. But they're also very, mm-hmm. there's very genuine points of them. My favorite number is probably the first, well, not the first one. It's Skid Row Downtown, which is the second number of the show, I believe. And it just kind of takes you around the neighborhood. And it's basically all people who are living in poverty on Skid Row, and they talk about their lives and how they have to go work for all the rich people uptown, and then they have to come home and live in like poverty, and there's real no real opportunities for them to come out of it. So it's really cool to watch in like our times, where, you know, obviously capitalism is still just as bad as it was, if not worse. Mm-hmm. And so it's really cool to go back and see my little anti-capitalist sentiments already developing at the age of 7.
I apologize if you said this already, but what year was this movie?
Oh, it was in the 80s, I want to say. I want to say 1989. I could be wrong.
I'll Google it. And was it a stage show first?
So it was originally, it was a film in 1960. Then Howard Ashman and Ellen Menken took that and adapted it in the 80s. And then eventually it was made into the film starring Rick Moranis.
Okay, so it's, that's like the Hairspray route, right?
Hairspray, yeah, yeah.
Hairspray did that.
Hairspray did the same thing.
Okay. Oh my gosh, it almost came out on my birthday. Okay. It came out December 19th, 1986 was the musical version.
And then the film probably came out I feel like it was early 90s.
No, that was the film.
That's December actually 19th. Earlier than I thought it was. Okay.
Yeah, 86 is like the musical movie version, not the like non-musical version. I'm sorry for my confusion.
No. Language. Okay. But yeah, so the movie musical was directed by Frank Oz, but Howard Ashman wrote the screenplay and the lyrics for it, then Alan Menken did the music.
I'm searching on Just Watch mm-hmm. right now, which is like where you can see where things are streaming. If for some reason you have a Cinemax
subscription through Hulu, you can watch it on there. And then I believe it's $3.99 to rent on Amazon. And I got to watch it with a couple friends who hadn't seen it the other night. To be clear, we were on the phone. We were practicing social distancing.
Yes. Also, just in case this goes without saying, we're practicing social distancing now. Like, all three of us are not in the same room. We're using technology.
I'm not even in the same state. Yes, to be clear, we are all doing this remotely. So it was really cool to experience that and just show people what this movie that I used to watch all the time when I was younger. My sister to this day like refuses to watch this movie because I made her watch it too many times when we were kids. And I would like rewind because I had it on VHS, and I would rewind my favorite scenes and watch them over and over again. You know when you get a song in your head and then you have to listen to it 8 million times?
Yeah.
Mine was I'll Make a Man Out of You by Mulan, I think. Or by Mulan. No, you know what I mean. The one from the Disney's Mulan. I think every child had some version of this movie, I feel like, that they just watched over and over again until everyone else in the household like couldn't take it anymore.
And so mine was Plants That Eat People. Because, you know.
Yeah, an anti-capitalist sentiments.
100%. Even as a youth. Even as a youth.
Yeah. It's a mood.
What about you, Milo? Did you have any like childhood pastimes that you're returning to now?
I think mine was a movie or TV. It was all my edutainment games.
Like Clue Finders.
Clue Finders, Math for the Real World, Zoom Beanies. I'm trying to find one called Fiction Science Zap. It teaches you science, specifically like light, electricity, and sound, as told through the perspective of a ska band.
I was like totally like just like, okay, this sounds like kind of a basic game that we all had. And then you said ska band and I was like, haha, I'm interested.
We have gone in a new and interesting direction.
They're not strictly ska, but like there's like four different preset like tracks that you can work with, and one of them is definitively ska.
There was one of the Freddy Fish games that we had. Which, if you don't know Freddy Fish, he was like a detective fish, and he I don't know, solved mysteries
underwater.
And stuff. Yeah. So
I'm sorry, I don't know why I asked underwater.
I want to say it was Freddy. I mean, he could have been in like an aquarium. Well, that's still underwater though. But no, it was like in the ocean. You had to search like golden pipes, and then they went in a golden conch shell, and like, yeah, there were different like places within the world where the golden pipes could be hiding, but I want to say there was some like weird game where you had to make music as part, like, because all of those types of things, they would have their big mystery thing, and then you'd have like smaller mini games that you would play that I presume would teach you things. I don't remember if I learned things or not, but I think I turned out okay.
I would, I remember Clue Finders. I remember, Milo, do you remember the one where it's all the artifacts in like a box got lost and the kids?
Is that the ancient Egypt and one? That's the only one I know. It's fourth grade.
And then I remember, like, they would teach you fractions because you went to this, like, fabric seller.
Yes.
And so I remember that.
And you probably still know fractions.
I do.
Milo, what were you saying? The Sphinx that was Groucho Marx.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I do. Well, fourth grade Clue Finders is actually a classic.
Yeah. I remembered nothing about that game, and then the more you say, I'm just like, yes, there was a Groucho Marx Sphinx. It's so vivid now that you point it out to me. That's like another kind of fun thing. Have y'all like been playing games through Corin? I know we said this was Corin streaming, but I know I have made friends download Trivia Crack. I think I already made Jess do it.
We have been
Milo, you are welcome
each other in Trivia
to
Crack.
Beat me. You are welcome to beat me at Trivia Crack. I like it, but I'm really not actually that good at it. But that's like a fun one that I've been trying to do to pass time. Because for some reason, I always like weird nerdy trivia games more so than I like actual video games. I know a bunch of my friends are on like the Animal Crossing bandwagon, and I don't get it. But sure, I'll answer stupid multiple choice trivia questions all day, every day.
Same. I feel like there should be more trivia games, actually, than what there are currently out on the market. I would just download all of them. I would just play them all day.
There's one that you can buy through our TV, and it's like one of a bunch of the You Don't Know Jack games.
Oh, it's like the Jackbox?
Jackbox, whatever.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one.
Those are fun.
Yeah, you can just do it through the TV.
Yeah, I know other people who have, like, the Jackbox party suite whatever thing. And I believe there is a way to do that, like, remotely as well. I just need to, like, look into it. I kind of want to throw, like, a virtual Jackbox party where I just get all my friends on one big-ass Skype call.
I would be down for that. We could do a Zoom party.
We should have a Zoom Jackbox party. But anyway, this is just me planning.
This is us just planning our social events.
Grasp at a social life in these times. This isn't what we were supposed to be talking about. Who still has suggestions they want to talk about?
I do. Would you like another YouTube channel, or would you like to hear the only thing I remember from Netflix from a while?
Oh, this is tricky.
I'm overthinking it already. I think can you say both?
Okay. So, to finish out my YouTube recommendations, I have Matt McMuscles and his series called What Happened, or as he pronounces it, Wahapa.
That's me every single day.
Is that not how you pronounce those words?
My life.
That's not just the correct pronunciation.
I just wake up every single day and I'm like, what happened?
Wahapa.
Wahapa. Yeah, that's not how you say it. Okay, I learned something today.
And it's basically about video games and video game movies that have troubled production cycles. They're not always bad games. He makes the point saying they're not always bad games. They're just games that have a lot going on behind the scenes.
That actually sounds super interesting. I love a good talk about how things go terribly. I think just because I'm a person who messes up a lot, so it makes me feel validated.
I will say this is tangentially related, but if you have Netflix, the Hasan Minhaj Patriot Act show that's really good. It's kind of like Netflix's version of John Oliver's show, but he does a really good episode about the video game industry and labor abuses within it. So that's also a good episode to check out if you're just interested to see what a clusterfuck is happening behind the scenes of like Fortnite and things.
Your game is hot. Yes.
Yeah, I remember a lot of stories came out about Riot Games around the time of when like Red Dead Redemption 2 came out, I believe it was, and how they were forcing people to work like 70 to 80 hour weeks every single week to get it done on time.
Crunch is awful. Please unionize.
Oh, yes.
See, I told you we weren't done with
Yes,
PSA.
actually, just to all businesses, please unionize your workforce. It provides you with more protections and you will not regret it in the long run. But anyway, go on, Anne.
Yeah, okay. Well, I thought I just had a little aside, but I think this was Milo's YouTube
Okay,
channel
your
that we were
side.
talking about,
You
right?
said first.
Yeah.
Oh, Drew, I think I was just gonna say, I'm not a gamer, but from my understanding, like Red Dead Redemption 2 wasn't even like, or from my understanding from people I know who are more active gamers, a lot of games aren't even completely finished when they come out. And you still have to wait for like the first round of updates and like, you know, fixes before the game's even what it's
That
supposed
is
to
the
be
case with a
anyway.
lot of games like Red Dead Redemption 2 'cause they're very like world focused. So they kind of like add new elements.
One of the
Yeah.
videos that I was going to recommend, Fallout 76, 1 and 2 suffered from the same problem. Especially because like the day one patch was bigger than the
That's so bad.
Wow.
Oh my God. But you know, that actually makes sense with everything I've heard about Fallout 76. So.
Yeah. So, couple things here, and I'm going to warn you, this is we're wading back into PSA territory. Once you kind of learn more about some of the terrible abuses in the video game industry, maybe be a little more patient if like games are glitchy when you first get them. You know, it's just a video game. And then two, GameStop deemed itself essential retail and was making their employees go to work like after many other retail establishments had already decided to close. So if you could just like maybe try to find your video games from like other
Yes,
sources
because
besides
actually, you
GameStop.
do not have to have a physical copy for most games nowadays. I understand that it is preferable, but we are in a pandemic, so it may be nice just to prioritize for this one period of time if you could get a non-physical copy and thus relieve this poor GameStop employees of some of the stress of their day.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The GameStop thing reminds me of a post that I saw on Twitter, which actually relates back to the What Happens series that I was just talking about.
Yes,
Somebody, bring it all
intertextuality.
back.
Somebody found a copy
Yeah.
of like a game that he had talked about on the channel called The Guy Game. And if you ever see that game, drop it and leave it where it is.
Is there a specific reason?
Yes.
I mean, I would imagine there's a reason.
Is it haunted?
I need to make you guess what the reason is.
It's haunted.
So the guy game. Whenever I hear the word guy, I think of Guy Fieri. So I'm just imagining like a
Not
Guy
Guy
Fieri
Fieri.
video game.
Is it just like is are they just saying that you're like a man?
Okay. There is a legitimate reason for this.
Is it like one of the games where you're a guy and then you like abuse women and you pretend that that's like a reasonable form of entertainment?
In that direction.
Okay, we're getting warmer. We're
Think
getting warmer.
less legal.
Less legal?
Is it about like
No.
prostitution?
Oh, is there murder?
No, it. Did I
There's a lot of
explain
murder
it?
in video
Yeah.
games.
It's a
Please explain it.
standard, like, dubious, like, Girls Gone Wild type game.
Oh my God.
And,
So
what were you saying?
are you like a photographer and you go around and you try to get like girls to take off their shirt?
It's like a trivia game where, like, if you. Like you have to guess trivia about the women in the game, and if you guess right, they take their shirts off. One of the participants was 17!
Oh my no! gosh! Why? Why? Oh my god.
I don't think they knew that she was 17 at the time, but like, when the thing was done, she was like, oh no.
But like, isn't it your due diligence if you're gonna make such a game to like make sure people like
that's a pretty like I don't I would know. Require it.
Like one would think you would require social legal security documentation card, ID. Proving that these girls are adults. And to be clear, I do want to like just I'm sorry to PSA you guys again, but I also want to say I don't want any of this to be interpreted as like. Anti-sex oh, yes. worker necessarily. If you are in fact 18 or older and like you choose to make your living that way, you know what? You do you. But even if we like let's pretend everyone was 18 or older, even just this concept for a video game is still just kind of like how many people in the chain of command had to green light this before it was like a real game that people could buy. Like I guess
since the girls don't want it is like over, they still want to try to like monetize that same thing.
Well, this is it looks like this is an older
GameCube type thing.
Oh, Jesus.
It was for Microsoft Windows, PlayStation 2, and then the original Xbox in 2004.
So I guess they're just trying to piggyback off of it. Actually, this is like somewhat related, somewhat not. So is it wrong that part of me wants to play Grand Theft Auto, but I don't really want to like do like the stealing of the cars or everything? That's not even my interest. I just want to do it because I heard that you can like just run errands in the game. And I would just want to do that.
That's like that should be a special COVID-19 edition is just like the running errands game. Because I remember running errands. I kind of liked it. I kind of miss it. You would like go to places and like, I don't know, maybe you'd go to the bank, you'd go to a store.
I know, you could go outside and stand closer to someone than 6 feet away.
Maybe that'll be the next expansion pack of six.
COVID?
No,
I thought you meant like a COVID-19 expansion pack where your Sims aren't allowed to leave their house.
I don't know. That's another thing I've tried to if I have a more productive week, I'm gonna let myself download like the Sims 2 and all its expansion packs, like super pack thing that's in the App Store. And that actually, we're kind of closing in on an hour. Oh, yeah, so I do want to like, wrap this up a little Netflix. Bit.
Netflix series is a documentary series called Rotten, and it's about all the terrible parts of the food industry.
Oh.
Because I am capable of watching anything that's not a documentary on Netflix.
I mean, that's valid. Netflix does have, like, Netflix has a fair amount of good documentary content.
Deep down, on some level, I know the food industry is terrible, and I'm, like, scared to know.
Just from the first episode of this series, bee theft is a problem. Just bee theft is a literal problem.
Do they steal the whole hive?
Yeah, they just steal the hive. I don't know. Okay. To be fair, I'm not sure if this was an isolated case or if this was like is still an ongoing thing.
Was it like in the US California. Or was it like somewhere else?
I could see like that being a big problem though, just because of the like bee shortage that exists in the world.
Like a lot of beekeepers will take their bees to California to pollinate, like for like at least a year, like people's bees were being stolen. Like, I know some of them had been recovered, but I'm not sure if all of them were.
Yeah, I guess because how do you track? Oh, well, I guess if they stole the whole hive, you can track that. But that's crazy. I want to watch this now.
What was that called?
The show was called Rotten. They have episodes about peanut allergies, There's a RICO lawsuit in the episode about garlic, anti-racketeering lawsuit from, but like, it, yeah, like it's
about garlic,
but it's kind of like a huge company weaponizing this law against like a lot of smaller companies.
Oh yeah, that's a thing that happens, I think, in a lot of industries. Would you say it's more episodic or more serialized?
Episodic. I mean, like, okay. The way that real life is, I guess, question mark.
I guess.
Season 2 has episodes of, like, with avocado and sugar, and you get to see how chocolate is made. The whole process, including all the child slave labor.
Jose was like, oh, we're heading in the bad direction.
I was going to say, and that includes slavery.
I can tell by the tone of your voice.
I was going to say, the chocolate industry.
About weed and edibles. And how there needs to be marijuana testing. Which means, you know what?
I would just like to say, I had a couple edibles a few weeks ago. And they did nothing for me. So I think I was ripped off on my edibles. I didn't actually know them. It was my friend knew them. And so I just gave her money and then she gave them to me. And so it was brownies. Mm-hmm. But apparently they were supposed to be like, it was either 50 or 75 milligrams. So theoretically it's supposed to get you pretty messed up and I felt nothing.
Yeah, you
so
might
I don't
have
know whether I got
out.
Ripped off or I'm just
know.
Immune to edibles.
Or maybe the dosage was messed up. Like, that was a thing that they talked about, like, different dosages are going to affect different people differently based on a variety of factors. And, like, the only way to get consistent results is to get, like, consistent testing. But, like, that's hard because it's technically illegal.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. Another PSA, free every single person of color who's in prison on a marijuana charge.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Trying to think. I don't know. So we're on an app that I think might kick us off recording after an hour.
Okay, so should we do our
before? So I do. Does anyone have any like last thoughts on how to use the internet to entertain yourself?
So I guess I just want to say, I know this is a very overwhelming time for everyone, but the internet, we are lucky in the sense that we do have the internet and it could be a great tool for relaxation and even bringing people together. Last week I had kind of a movie party where I got three of my friends together and we were all on the phone and we all pressed play on the movie at the same time and we all watched it together. So I know we're all missing each other right now, but quarantine streaming is a great way to bring both family and friends together.
I could not agree more.
Check to see
Milo,
if you're
any
a
last thoughts?
Library to rent ebooks and stuff, because a lot of libraries can do that now.
Yes, some libraries also have Canopy, which is a really cool streaming service that is like totally free if your like library system subscribes to it and you get to like subscribe through your library. And that's Canopy with a K.
Is Canopy the one that lets you rent like albums and stuff?
Not to my knowledge. It's more like film. It's more movies. But maybe there's albums on there that I haven't found yet.
Music albums as well. And audiobooks as well.
Yeah. So definitely like look into what kind of online resources your library is offering you.
Thank you all for taking the time to listen. All right, so to wrap this up,
indeed.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Milo.
I'm Anne.
And this has been Somewhat Qualified.